people ask me frequently, are there hidden codes in the Bible? And there absolutely are. There's so much nonsense and so much contrived foolishness around that many people get disenchanted with the idea of hidden messages in the Scripture. But there are there, and I want to show you a few. Proverbs 25:2 tells you that. It's the glory of God to conceal a thing, but it's the honor or duty of kings to search out the matter. Way back in the 16th century, Rabbi Cordovero pointed out that the secrets of the Torah are revealed in the skipping of letters. So this idea of Bible codes is not a new idea. It's a rediscovery of things that were known centuries ago. There are dozens of different kinds of encryptions in the Scripture. And I'm not going to go through all those here. Relax. But there's one particular kind that is called an equidistant letter sequence. And it's the one that's being very much abused by promoters and things. But nevertheless, there are some that are real. The equidistant letter sequence. Here's an this is a contrived example to give you an idea what they are. On the screen, there's a sentence. Rips explained that each code is a case of adding every fourth letter to form a word. That's just an arbitrary sentence I put on the screen. But it turns out that if you take every fourth letter of that, that's an equidistant letter sequence of the spacing of three between each letter, you then discover that every fourth letter forms another message. In this case, it says, read the code. This is just a demonstration to give you a feeling for what we mean by an equidistant letter sequence. This technique was known to the ancient rabbis. This is one of many. When those rabbinical experts rose to power in the courts of Europe during the Renaissance period, they were the experts that contrived the cryptography available to the various kings. So if you study the history of secret writing or cryptography, you'll discover it really has its roots in among ancient rabbis in ancient Israel, and it's traceable through the courts of Europe as they invent better and more sophisticated codes, leaning on their insights. And because the codes got so sophisticated in World War II, we developed computers to break the codes. That's what Turing John von Neumann in the United States and Alan Turing in Britain were the two experts that really gave us the modern computer. But its original mission was to break the Nazi codes, which it did. But it's interesting that those same computers have now allowed us to rediscover the very things that the rabbis knew thousands of years ago. And so it's a very fascinating study. So, but let me just give you one example to give you a flavor of this. This is Genesis chapter 1 in Hebrew. Now, I want to remind you that Hebrew goes from right to left. Also, the word Torah in Hebrew is spelled with four letters. A tau, which is roughly equivalent to our T, an O, a resh, a hey, four letters. If you go to the first tau in the book of Genesis, and that's the last letter of the Hebrew alphabet, it happens, and you count 49 letters, you come to a vav. You count 49 more letters, and you come to a resh, which is sort of like our R. And you count 49 more letters, you come to a hey. So that is those four letters spelled Torah. Now, I need to remind you that all languages flow towards Jerusalem. Did you know that? All nations east of Jerusalem go from right to left. All nations west of Jerusalem go from left to right. All languages flow towards Jerusalem. I don't know what you're going to do with that piece of information, but I think it's interesting. Now, you can follow this without knowing Hebrew, obviously, but you say, now, why 49? Was a square of 7? Okay, that's fine. That's not too surprising, but just a coincidence, of course. Or is it? Now, you could argue, well, that's just an accident of the frequency of letters and so forth. It's kind of rare, but interesting. Except what happens is when you go to the book of Exodus, you go to the first tau. Count 49 letters, you get a vav. 49 letters, you get a resh. 49 letters, and you get a hey. Same thing happens. What's the probability of that? Whatever the first probability is, it's that squared. Okay? So it's very unlikely. Genesis, Exodus, you go to Leviticus, and it doesn't happen. And when it doesn't, you just almost feel a sigh of relief. Huh? But when you go to Numbers, the same thing happens backwards. You take the first hey, the first resh, the first vav, the first tau. You get Torah spelled backwards. Now, that's weird. Which, if nothing else, I don't know how they found this out. They must have had time on their hands, you know. They didn't have computers. You know, this was... You go to Deuteronomy, have essentially the same equivalent thing happens. And now you're puzzled because you've got it forward, forward, backward, backward. Can't resist going back to Leviticus and looking at Leviticus more closely. We have 49 of the 7 squared letter sequences. Torah, Torah, forward in Genesis, Exodus, backwards in Numbers and Deuteronomy. Well, if you look at Leviticus, you discover that every 7th letter spells the unpronounceable name of God. Often rendered Jehovah or Yahweh, expressed as Adonai among the Hebrews. They won't pronounce that name. They'll use Lord, the word Lord instead. Well, now we stand back from all of this. We have the name of God, and we suddenly realize that the Torah always points to the name of Jehovah. Now, what's the chance of that happening by accident? And by the way, if you've tried to contrive something like this and still maintain logic in the text, that's a challenge. This is a very non-trivial thing to design if you set out to design it that way. So many of us tend to regard these kinds of things in general as fingerprints of the Holy Spirit.